We're going to continue with our discussion with Lawrence Light about his work Crash, and we'll also take your phone calls. He believes that we're on the verge of a second severe recession. Let's get your thoughts on that, too, when we come back. And welcome back to Coast, Lawrence Light with us, his book Crash. Lawrence, in Christmas Carol, Scrooge went to the spirit of yet to come, and he said, are these things that will be or could be? So I'm going to ask you about this planned second recession. Mm-hmm. Is this something that will be or could be?
I'd say a very strong could be. Yogi Berra said it well. You know, I never make predictions, especially about the future. But I think there's a strong likelihood it could well happen. I hope to God it doesn't, but it could well happen. And that's what scares me.
Well, we saw 2008. 2008 had the derivative issues and the mortgage issues. In your opinion, what causes these economic calamities?
Well, it's generally too much debt. That is certainly what happened in 2008, where people bought houses who shouldn't have bought houses. They'd go to banks, and it was called a no-doc or no-document mortgage. They just say, yeah, I'm rolling in money. Let me just put it down here, and you have to take it on faith. And the banks didn't bother to take a look, because what they do is they turn around and sell the loans, and these big loan syndicates, these pools, get it off their books, and they didn't care. They took their fees, and that was it. And you see, I don't know if you ever saw that wonderful movie or read the book by Michael Lewis. It was called The Big Short.
Yes.
And it was about how the financial crisis in 08 came to pass.
And some insiders knew what was going to happen.
They knew exactly what was going to happen, yeah. Believe me. And there was this one great scene where these guys are just having to be talking to a stripper in Las Vegas. And she says, oh, yeah, I own 5 spec houses. In other words, speculative houses. And she just bought them on these no-doc loans. She didn't have the money to pay for 5
Right,
loans.
And then rented them out, right?
Right, rented them out, or just hoped she could flip them. And, of course, it all went down the chute when all of a sudden these things started being foreclosed upon. And then it cascaded, and then it just became a torrent. And that's what almost wrecked our economy last time. So now we've got a new problem. But it's also based on too much debt. We've just got too much debt to handle, and it's all going to come and smack us in the face. That's what scares me.
What would happen, Lawrence, if they simply said, as of right now, all debt is forgiven? Your mortgage, whatever loans you have on the books, as of this date, it's all gone. What would happen?
Well, somebody would be out of pocket. Unless, you know, Uncle Sam could be convinced to come in and pay all of this stuff off. And that's what they were thinking of doing, by the way, back in 08. You know, just forgive all the mortgages and the federal government would come in. But then they thought, my God, you know, that would bankrupt the United States.
So not a good idea, huh?
Not a good idea. So let's say that you're a company and you're suffering and you've got debt. And all of a sudden, somebody comes through and waves a magic wand and says, forget about the debt.
It's all gone. Everything's gone.
On the other end of the book. Somebody's on the other end, who lent you the money, and they're out of the money, you know? So they're in trouble, you know? So it's two ends of this. So it just wouldn't work.
This stimulus package that they've created, good idea or horrible?
Well, it's good to tide us over, but to tide us over to when? We don't know when this whole thing is going to end, and I'm afraid that we've gone down the path too far. Too many businesses have been closed. Too many people have been laid off.
Yes.
Too many jobs have been destroyed.
And what are they going to do if they think the coronavirus is going to come back again? Are they going to shut everything down again?
Exactly. If we have to go through this again, you know, it might just be the final straw.
That's it. It's over.
That's it. That's what scares the heck out of me.
Is there anybody who's going to step in to bail us out of this thing?
I don't know who it would be. You know, I mean, the only way we can do it is what we've been doing now, is just kicking the can into the future. Just the federal government takes out more and more and more debt, and at some point, this, you can't, trees don't grow to the sky. There's, nothing is sustainable forever. For instance, if we have so much debt, then who would want to buy? People would lose faith in the dollar, and who would want to buy our treasury bonds? Because so far, everybody says, well, they've got the full faith and credit of the federal government behind it. Of course, you know, they're risk free. Well, what if they aren't? What if Uncle Sam can't pay all that debt? All that interest that's owed on all that debt, and when that debt comes due, can't return the money to people, and people say, I'm not gonna trust Uncle Sam anymore. Where's the money gonna come from? You know, then we are really, you know, tattooed.
Many other countries shut down, quarantined, locked down, shut down businesses. We weren't the only ones that did this. How are they surviving? Did they all do stimulus checks? I mean, if we get a caller from Canada, for example, which we have a huge listenership, I want to ask them if they got stimulus checks individually out of the Canadian government. I don't know what happened there.
I think what the Canadians did were similar to what the Europeans did, especially the Germans. The Germans said, okay, we will pay companies to keep people on the payroll, by 80% of their pay, and because that's cheaper for us in the long run, rather than having them all be fired, and then we have to pay them unemployment compensation.
Well, did they shut those companies down though?
No. They're doing fine, and their level of unemployment was something like 5% in Germany, and we're like 20% now and climbing. So but of course, they're a smaller country than we are.
I'm going to get a haircut Wednesday for the first time in 2 months.
Wow.
This is crazy. Normally, I go every 3 weeks, get a little trim or something like that. And this
is my wife cut my hair.
You're one of the lucky ones. I mean, there are people out there that look like Bushmen. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, even shutting down, you know, services like that is ridiculous. I go to my dentist twice a year for checkups. He's shut down. I mean, it's crazy.
I know. Warren Buffett, one of the richest men in America, said he hasn't had a haircut since early March. Well, if the richest man in America can't get a haircut, where are we?
I even called the salon to see if they would send somebody to my house. No way. They won't do it.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. I know.
Really, so I was trimming myself last night. I've cut off my right ear accidentally. I'm kidding, of course. But let's take some calls. You ready?
Sure.
Let's go to Hollywood, Maryland. Frank's with us. Hey, Frank, go for it.
Yeah, I'm lead off batter again.
Yes, you are.
Back in 2008, when people were losing their homes, it was said that they bought more homes than they could afford. What about the ones that lost their houses that were 15 and 20 years paying for it, never missed the payment? They didn't buy more house than they could afford. When they lost their job in the crash, they couldn't pay for it. Now, if they take back these foreclosed 10 million houses, who are they going to sell them to? They might as well make a deal with the people that already have it and make a payment. Now, my main question tonight is the deficit. If the deficit were to come back to net zero, what would life be like in the United States? And do you have any ideas how we could achieve that?
Yeah, that's a very good question. We just might reach a point, unfortunately, where we're out of ammunition, which is what frightens me.
I think so. We're at the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah. We're not there yet, but it could happen. And, you know, Lord, hope it's, I just hope it doesn't, you know, hope it's in a plan, but, you know, I hope it doesn't.
I'm not going to reveal, like I said, the end of your book, Crash, but for you and David to put together this kind of scheme to write the book, you must have felt something was really happening out there. Yeah. Even though, as you said, you wrote it a year before all this mess started.
Right. We just knew something was bound to go wrong. Like I say, you know, I've been a financial journalist for 30 years, and I've watched, you know, what, you know, as I said earlier, you know, 300-year storms in 30 years. The dot-com thing, the housing thing in 08, now this. And I just felt a year or so ago, and David did too, we felt that, you know, we're due. And because the debt's climbing up, we're just in China, and there's a big trade war going on between us and China, and just things seem to be spinning out of control. And they sure did. Not the way, quite the way we thought it would happen. You know, but it did happen. It came from China. That's where the problem came from. That's where we thought it'd be a different kind of China problem, but it is a China problem.
What would have happened, Lawrence, had we not shut down anything? We just let it happen, and, you know, some people would get sick, sadly. Some people will die, sadly. But the but the companies flourished and business kept going.
Yeah, that's a tough one, George. I don't know. I just don't know. You're right. We would have suffered more deaths than even we've seen even now. The economy, it's hard to say whether it would have chugged along.
It would have been better than it is now.
Well, that's probably true. Yeah. Yeah, because right now, you know, when everything was just, you know, closed down, whammo, in mid-March, you know, as I say, it's like cutting off the oxygen in the brain. So, yeah,
Tom, it would have been something. Tom, my producer and I have a little bet. He thinks Vegas is going to flourish when they open up. I'm not so sure it is. You know, there are conventions that have canceled for the year. They're not coming back. And if they come back next year, maybe. But, you know, Vegas flourishes on convention business first and foremost.
Yes.
So you take that out of the equation. You got a big dent there.
Yeah, you really do, yeah. My wife and I were going to go to Vegas on March the 21st. We canceled.
Yeah.
And we were looking forward to it.
And now they're saying they're going to open up June 4th, limited. There's going to be things like plexiglass between table players, and poker rooms are not going to open up. They're going to sanitize the dice after a roller. I mean, it's weird. You know how I don't play the dice game, but guys and gals that play before they roll the dice always blow on the dice for luck.
Right.
That's going to be outlawed. You can't do that.
Oh, Lord. That's something. Yeah. Well, my wife, she plays roulette. And so you have to place your bets on those.
Yeah. And they're going to start sanitizing the chips.
Yeah. Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I play blackjack. And of course, you know, it all comes out of a shoe. And the dealer, you know, fingers it across the table to you. So, yeah. Ouch.
But if you play two deck, you touch the cards yourself, you know. And that means they're going to change the decks every, you know, 4 minutes and drive you crazy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's the fun of the game. I mean, I you know, the I've always said the one great thing about playing table games at a casino is you get free drinks, which, of course, management does to sharpen your wits.
Exactly.
So,
make you a little more aggressive at the tables.
Right. So.
Instead of this $20, I'm going to put $50, you know.
I'm feeling lucky tonight.
Let's go to first-time caller Mike in Duarte, California. Hey, Michael, go ahead.
Hello. I just wanted to ask your guest, Mr. Light, if he shares my opinion that the reason we have a lot of world debt is because of a massive sense of entitlement that people have. And I don't just mean the entitlement to buy consumer goods. I'm referring to things like perhaps siring three or four children instead of just one or two, because we've got the public education system as well as a lot of other public programs. So I'm not just talking about consumer debt. I'm talking about government debt as well, is because of a massive sense of entitlement worldwide, in his opinion.
What do you think of that, Lawrence?
Well, I mean, it is true. I mean, we do have a... We do have a welfare state, and not so much, I mean, more so in other countries than ours. Social Security, for instance, You know, everybody's entitled to Social Security. Back when it was passed in the 1930s, there were 48 workers to every Social Security recipient. In other words, 48 people paying into the pot, one taking out of the pot. Now it's 3-1, three workers for every one recipient. In 10 years, it's going to be 2-1. And I don't know what's going to happen after that. 1-1, I guess. I don't know. It's whatever it is. It ain't good, and it can't keep going on.
That's our stimulus check, isn't it? Our Social Security check, for crying out loud.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's all part of the scary thing. You know, in other words, we're paying out to people, and we can't afford it.
Let's go to Monique in Sunland, California. Hi, Monique. Go ahead.
Hi, George and Mr. Light. Happy Memorial Day.
You too.
And blessings to your fan, Tony. So,
thank you.
Mr. Light, I like your last name. I'm going to keep my question light. On the positive side of things, as far as new jobs becoming more on the demand, you know, you gentlemen were talking about the meat industry having troubles, but plant-based food is on the rise, and so is organic. And that's really healthy, you know, and there's no harm to the animals. And then what about green jobs? I mean, L.A., as you know, became one of the less polluted major cities in the world in April. Tom was talking about it, and he's right. So, you know, I'm not into solar energy where they're, you know, using slave labor and whatnot. But, you know, if we can get it the right way, solar is great, you know, compared to fossil fuels. And it really doesn't have anything to do with politics. I mean, I do believe climate change is a political issue, but if it wasn't for money and politics, everyone wants less pollution. So what about these types of sectors?
Yeah, well, the plant-based thing is actually, I understand, growing. Americans traditionally want their steaks. They want protein. But over the long term, you're probably right. You know, cows apparently give off, and just the cattle in the fields, give off an amazing amount of the greenhouse gases.
Methane everywhere.
Yes, exactly. That's one factor. In terms of solar, that is a growing industry. And it will... It apparently is becoming cheaper all the time, and the photovoltaic cells are getting more efficient, and I'm sure as the years go by they'll get even more efficient. And so for the future, that is a hopeful sign, and you're right to say that it's positive, and I hope that it continues.
We've got a final segment to go with Lawrence Light as we talk about his work, Crash. Where do people get your book? Amazon and bookstores?
Yes, Amazon. And when the bookstores are open again, you can get them there too.
Was David proud of this book before he passed on?
Very much so. He liked it a lot. And he learned a lot. I took him to the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, and he was like a kid in a candy shop because it's an amazing place, just full of life, or it was anyway.
His death unexpected, or
it was. He had a heart attack in the middle of the night.
Oh, gosh.
When he woke up, and his son found him, his adult son found him. He died on a Friday night, and his son found him on Monday. He had heard from Dad all weekend.
I just mentioned it at the top of the hour. We have an avid The Coast listener. He just passed away, 34 years old. Tony, he loved Coast to Coast. We'll be back in a moment with Final Calls with you, Lawrence, in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, we're going to talk about the paranormal pop culture. Get ready for that. We'll have a little fun, and we're going to come back in a moment with Lawrence Light and take final phone calls. His book is called Crash. And welcome back. George Norrie with you. Lawrence Light with us as we talk about his work, Crash. So you also mentioned a little bit, if aliens are watching us, what would they think? They'd probably be thinking we're killing ourselves.
Exactly. Yeah. Do you remember that there was this famous Twilight Zone episode from the original Twilight Zone where it was called The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street?
One of the classics.
One of the greats. And the neighbors are all squabbling with each other, and and the violence breaks out. And then the camera goes up the hillside where there is a flying saucer, and these aliens are looking down and saying, you know, these earthlings are doing our job for us. You know, we're here to conquer, but they're just doing it for us, you know. And so it seems that that is what's going on right now. I mean, also, semi-facetiously, you may remember H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds.
Oh, sure. Classic there, too.
Where the Martians, you know, they had these giant machines. They were way ahead of us technologically. But there was one problem. The germs, the viruses of Earth killed them.
That's right. That's the only way we were able to get rid of them.
Exactly. So maybe this is the Martians' revenge that we're getting right.
It's the Andromeda strain or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
What are the financial institutions, like the Wall Street Journal and Forbes magazine, and entities like that? What are they doing, Lawrence, with these kinds of stories? Are they going crazy? Is it a heyday for them?
Well, yeah. I mean, being a journalist, a financial journalist, in a time like this it's sort of like being a fireman when there's an enormous outbreak of fires and arsons and whatever. You know, I mean, that's what you're trained for. That's what you're there to do. And it's exciting, and you're at your peak. But at the same time, you know, you have to look back and say, well, my goodness, this is just terrible. What's going on here? You know, being a working journalist, it's like that. It's a sort of a yin yang thing. You know, there's you're going flat out, and you're doing what you're trained to do. But on the other hand, you know, tragedy is breaking out all around you. So, and it affects you too. It affects your bank account.
Did the coronavirus contribute to this, or create it?
It contributed. As I was saying earlier, David and I thought when we were concocting the book Crash that this was going to happen. There was going to be a big collapse.
Right.
It's just the question of what the catalyst was going to be.
And you didn't know when.
We didn't know when, but we figured it would be soon. Because as I say, these things happen like every 10 years. And they have for some time now. And, you know, we had the subprime. Well, first of all, we had the dot-com crash in 1990. We had the 2008 housing-related crash. And now this thing. So it just seems every decade, give or take, something goes wrong. And as I say, it all stems back to too much debt.
Yep, so, absolutely.
That's the thing.
To the phones we go. Let's go to Tim in the state of Washington. Hey, Timothy, go ahead, sir.
Hello. Good show. I'm glad you were on tonight. I just wanted to mention that China is telling their people to eat fermented cabbage. And if you look at the countries with low death rates, like Austria, 615, Poland, 925, Japan, 756, they all eat like sauerkraut or kimchi or
that's
some
right.
Other
no,
fermented
you're right.
Cabbage.
You're right. What do you think of that, Lawrence?
Huh. Well, yeah, that's true. So in other words, a vegetarian or heavily, maybe not totally vegetarian, but a large share of vegetables in your diet. I mean we don't know the pathology here, the medical reasons for all this. It's still rather murky about this pathogen, this COVID disease. But who knows? Vegetables are healthy, so that makes that could well be a factor.
You know, I've had experts on the program, Lawrence, for years saying the stock market's inflated, it's going to bust, it's going to come down. We've had experts on in all walks of life, and it never happened. It just kept getting bigger and stronger and bigger, and then this happened, and it still seems to be coming back a little bit. Am I crazy or what?
Right. Well, no, you're not. And this is the odd thing about the stock market. What the stock market does, it's sort of a gamble. It's what investors as a whole think will happen in the future, And right now they're rather optimistic. They're saying, okay, we've got Uncle Sam, who is backstopping us, preventing the country from sliding completely off the cliff. That's a good thing. And we've also got all these promising new vaccines and whatnot that may well get us out of this mess. So they put it all together, and they're just being very optimistic. But as you pointed to earlier, George, what if none of these vaccines work? What if this comes back? This disease comes back as strong as ever in the fall. That's what happened with the Spanish flu.
Mm-hmm.
And we're a more mobile society than they certainly were back in 1918 when the Spanish flu occurred. So what if they're wrong? And if they are, or if it, what I'm pretty sure is going to happen, at least to the stock market, is the economy is going to get worse and worse and worse. And the stock market will turn around and say, hey, wait a minute, you know, all that optimism we showed a little earlier, I'm going to revise that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to sell all my stocks and get the heck out.
Exactly.
And the market goes down again just as badly as it did in February and March. That's what I think. There's a very strong risk of that.
This is what perplexes me about vaccines. I'm not a proponent of vaccines in all cases, and I do not tell people to get them or not to get them. That's their decision. But I'm concerned that there's going to be a mandatory push for vaccinations for everybody. And here's my concern. If you get vaccinated, Lawrence, and I don't, and you get upset with me because I haven't been vaccinated, why do you care? Because you are supposed to be protected. So why do you care if I get it or not?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I suppose it's that nothing is, I mean, I haven't even thought of that, but I suppose it's because people would, in terms of the society at large, maybe not everybody's going to be vaccinated. Not everybody's going to rush out and get one.
No.
And
mandatory or otherwise, they're not going
right,
to.
Exactly. Yeah, because they're lazy or they're this or they're that.
Or they don't trust it.
They don't trust it, exactly. And, you know, and what about, what about your aged mother, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She's not going to get vaccinated for whatever reason. And then she's at risk. So it's a big can of worms.
Joe in Long Island, New York. Go ahead, Joseph. Take it away.
Yeah. Hi, Lawrence. I'm sure you saw the Hollywood movie Crash. That was a little bit dystopian. But two questions. One is, I think if you look back to 2008, Madoff and Lehman Brothers wouldn't have gotten away with what they did get away with had they been operating out of London. They did the brand, you know, they were under the brand of Wall Street. Madoff had been the head of NASDAQ. You know, people trusted the brand. And similarly, you know, a lot of these nefarious corporations based out of the U.S. are, you know, operating on the brand of the goodwill of Uncle Sam, which at this point is more of a mythology in terms of our corporations. So they're kind of, you know, using that as a backdrop. And also with China, which is the second thing I want to bring up, they're amazingly proficient at putting up skyscrapers. I had read that one of their cities was the equivalent of New York City skyscraper-wise, and they did this in 2 years. Yet their environmental controls are lax, and you may see wars over resources in China or within China, you know, such as water wars with their neighbors, India, and so forth.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, China can do whatever it wants. It's a dictatorship. Now, let's say you've had your old family home and your family's living in it for generations, and the government comes through and says, hey, get out. You know, we're going to bulldoze your home. Tough luck. We're going to put you in a big apartment block someplace, you know, and that's just too damn bad. They can do whatever they want. We have laws in this country that makes it more difficult. Now, of course, some of them you can argue are a little too far. Some environmental impact statements, for instance. So that's That's one advantage, if you could call it that, that they have been a dictatorship. But then in terms of the crookedness of Wall Street and, you know, circa 08, you're absolutely right. Everybody believed Bernie Madoff. It was a privilege to invest with Bernie Madoff. That's like saying, you know, you're privileged, you know, to give your money to Willie Sutton, the bank robber, and because he made off with it. And nobody... And it's always so true. Nobody or a lot of people just don't want to see it, see what's going on, even though it's staring them right in the face that something's very wrong. It reminds me a lot of that classic Roadrunner cartoon. I don't know if you remember this one. It's where the Wile E. Coyote has got his Acme Dynamite and he's in his shack and he's preparing some bomb to bomb the Roadrunner. Meanwhile, the Roadrunner pushes the shack onto the railroad tracks. So Wile E. Coyote all of a sudden hears the horn of a locomotive, you know, looks out his window, sees a locomotive going right toward him.
Smash.
What does he do? He pulls the curtains. He thinks that'll get rid of him.
It's like the Wizard of Oz, right? What's behind the curtain? Isn't it interesting that this virus made the confrontation in Hong Kong just simply go away?
Yeah.
I mean, it all stopped just like that.
Yeah, well, the Chinese do want to take over Hong Kong. They've always sort of wanted to do that.
Yep. But they want Taiwan next.
Yeah, well, and then they want Taiwan. And it is true that they are, for a while, the Chinese were using what they call soft power. In other words, they go spend a lot of money in Africa and Eastern Europe to buy goodwill. Build a bridge, build an airport,
exactly,
et cetera. It was called One Belt, One Road. But now they're expanding their military, and they just sunk a Vietnamese ship in waters that are they're disputing the sovereignty of them. They're expanding their fleet into the South China Sea, challenging us, and of course threatening Taiwan. So yeah, they're no longer even trying to be Mr. Nice Guy.
Let's go to Cornelius in Louisiana. Hello there, Cornelius.
Hey there, George and Lawrence. Light, I tell you, you seem like you have a biblical name. You're giving us light in this darkness. I tell George, I'm the God, guns and gold man, the Bible, bullets and beans man. So Lawrence, I look forward to getting your book, and it seems like it's going the way you're saying. George, I don't know if you've been. And I got a chance to get on C-SPAN today in Washington Journal, and I mentioned Coast to Coast AM, and that's where I get all my information. So,
thank you for that plug.
On Memorial Day. But, Lawrence, Bill Gates, I heard Obama say this. I heard Fauci say that there would be a pandemic. I think all of these globalists, whether they be American globalists, Chinese globalists, Communist Party, or the Russians, because I was a military police officer at Fort McClellan in Anniston, Alabama, where we trained at the Chem School. That was the military Chem School and MP School. And this stuff, the Russians had planned to do this back then. I was in the 70s and the 80s. So I want to know if why you were a lieutenant colonel or anything, and you probably had a secret clearance. I know George did, our top secret clearance. Do you think this is a plot by the Chinese or the globalists all together to just destroy America and the world and get a one world government or a new world order? I'll take my answer off there. God bless you, George. Try to play that melody of all the military. That'd be a great thing.
We do that on Veterans Day, my friend. So stick around for that. But in the remaining last minute we have, Lawrence, your book, of course, is a novel which talks about the conspiracy. But you know what? It could be real life, huh?
Could be. It could be.
Can't rule it out.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad people out there, and they'll do anything to get, you know, to get their way.
That's right. The globalists are very powerful people, aren't they?
Yeah, sure.
What's your website, Lawrence?
It's LawrenceLight.com.
Super. And we've got that linked up at Coast to Coast. And by the way, I want to invite you back as many times as you want. The books that you write, you've got a blank check on the show. So you come back whenever you want. Okay?
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks. Lawrence Light, he wrote the book with the late David Hagberg called Crash. It's a novel, but it's pretty accurate with what's going on now. Up next, Let's dabble with the paranormal side on Coast to Coast AM.